You can be seated. Thank you. I know that most of you in the room tonight don't remember perhaps one of the things I'm going to say here in the next moment or so, but used to you could go to Miami, Florida and catch a flight, and about a 30-minute flight, you could be in Cuba. And Cuba, you ought to just do yourself a favor sometime and look up Cuba in the 50s. It was like going to Las Vegas. Beautiful lighted city with some of the finest restaurants and finest entertainment that there was anywhere in the world. And all of the wealthy and the elite would fly over there and take vacations. The beaches were beautiful. And something happened. And now if you look at Cuba, it actually looks like it survived an atomic attack. It is a wasteland. The people are beyond poor. They are totally indigent. And the streets that used to be lined with vehicles, Cadillacs and Mercedes and beautiful homes and automobiles, those now are just barren in just 50 years or so. And then I think of Detroit, and I can remember going to that area back the first time. Has been about 50 years that I went up there, and it was about the fourth largest city in the United States, and it was a literal industry giant. The city was just thriving. It was bright lights and beautiful buildings. And now if you look at Detroit, it looks like a third world country. A third world country. I mean, it's in ruin and probably will never be restored. Those are just two that are familiar names to us that we look at, and you can see that these places, something happened. I mean, what more can you say other than something happened to cause that? And I remember that my dad, we were having a lot of troubles at home. And this has been, I was 15 years old, so it's been a while. And my dad, one day I was walking up the street, I don't know where I was coming from, there in Austin, where we lived, and my dad pulls up to the red light, and he said, he was a truck driver, and he said, "Son, I'm going to make a trip. I got a trip. I'm going up to, I think it was Detroit or somewhere," and he said, "You want to go with me?" And growing up in a truck driver's home, well, we had to learn how to drive a truck before we even entered into puberty. And so I said, yeah, I'll go, Daddy, and I went home and got whatever I was going to get together, and we went. Of course, back in those days, none of the trucks had air conditioning and the things of that nature. It was a lot different back then than it is now. But it was also a time of great trouble in our home. My mother, and I don't tell this story for gain or notoriety, but my mother had a lot of issues, a lot of problems with drugs and things of that nature. And her and my dad were on the brink of a divorce. Back in those days, divorce was just unheard of. Would it shock you to know that the divorce rate back when I was a kid were 2%? 2%. And it would probably really shock you to know that now it's about 65. And so I knew what was going on. I had two older brothers that were, one had already went to prison, the other one was waiting to go. And so it was kind of a hard time for us. And I remember that when I was coming up here just the other day, I was driving up Interstate 57 coming from Memphis. And I've been that way 100 times or so. And you have to go through a place called Blytheville, Arkansas. And you don't really go through there on the interstate, but it's right off the interstate. And so every time I come through there, I say, I'm going to drive down to Blytheville. Because all the way back then, that's been 55 years now, we were coming, and there was no interstates, but we were coming up. My dad had a load, and the truck broke down in Blytheville, Arkansas. And so we had to pull into the little town. Daddy found somebody that worked on the truck, And he said, looks like we're going to have to stay the night. Well, normally, when we traveled in the truck, we never stayed in hotels or motels. We just didn't have the money, so we would sleep. We'd take bed rolls and put them on the back end of the truck, and we'd sleep there. But the truck was in the shop, so that couldn't happen. So Daddy actually got a hotel, first one I'd ever stayed in. And it was a downtown hotel, like, you know, 8 or 9 floors and so on and so forth. And I could tell my daddy was very distraught. And I felt sorry for him because he and I were really close, but I was close to my mother too. And that night was a Sunday. We had nothing to do, no place to go, didn't know anybody. Daddy told me Sunday afternoon, he said, get your clothes on, we're going to go to church. We didn't go to church. You know, we went a lot of places. Church wasn't one of them. And he said, we're going to go to church. Well, the only church that we'd ever went to was a Pentecostal-type church when I was little. So, I mean, I was familiar with them. I knew that all of them were crazy. And so I got dressed, and we took our walking. And I said, where are we going, Daddy? He said, well, I asked around. Somebody told me there's a church right down this road here, about 3 or 4 blocks. And I said, okay. And before we got there, Daddy had evidently asked him if there was some kind of a Pentecostal church around, because even though he wasn't a church-going man, he was in trouble, and he knew that was the place to go. And so he says, it's right down the road here. So we got about a block away, and I could hear them, because nobody had air conditioning, and they'd have the windows up. And there ain't nothing like a Pentecostal church with the windows up and no air conditioning. And I could hear them, and I said, wow, they're awful loud. Daddy said, that must be the right church. And we went down there, and I think that night, I think something happened. My dad prayed that night, and my dad was a big man, very austere and very unemotional. I'd never seen my daddy cry. I saw him cry. And he prayed that night, and I don't believe that you can just work God any way you want to. But I will tell you that when we got back home, my mom and dad worked that out, and they were together till the day she died. And my mother died filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, we baptized my dad too. And so that little church has stuck in my mind all these years. And I have been sick, but I do feel pretty good. And I feel better now than I did when I started. So I really, and I love this church. And every now and then, you know, if you come around a lot, you're granted a moment to say things you probably wouldn't normally say. But I really love this church, and I love you people. You mean a lot to me. And, of course, this guy here and his wife, what can I say? You know, I know he looks a lot older than I do, but I can't help that. But we have become, well, we're like two boys. We're best buds, and we have a great relationship. And so I appreciate coming here. So I want to speak to you from my heart tonight, because I really think I've got something to say. Amen. And I came through Blyville, and today, or day before yesterday, Thursday, whenever it was, I thought, I wish I had time. I'd like to drive over and find that hotel and see if I could find that little church. Because it did something. It changed something in my family. I never went back, but I'm going to go back. And it was years later that I came to know God in my own way. I had my own relationship, my own experience with Him. And when I first came to God, I came from such a sordid background. It was, you know, awful, you know, just an awful background. And not knowing anything about God or knowing anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we know and call, it was an overnight change. And when it happened the next day, I was changed. It happened on a Sunday night, but the next day I was different. Something happened to me. I mean, I knew something had happened. I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand it. I didn't own a Bible, didn't know anything, but I knew something had happened to me. And I remember telling my mother, because I went over she lived in the same apartment complex, and my mother said, "What kind of church is that you went to?" Because we went as a joke. I've told you that story. I'm not going to go into that. And I said, "Mama, I don't know." I said, "I don't know what kind of church it was." And she said, "Well, you need to find out." And I said, "What's the big deal? It's a church." She said, "You need to find out what kind of church that is. Call that preacher right now and ask him." You know, my mother wasn't usually that assertive. And so I called. I had to look the number up, and I called that preacher, and he got on the phone. And I said, "Sir, I'm sorry to bother you." I said, "But I'm here with my mother. She demanded that I call you and ask you what kind of church this is." He said, "It's a Pentecostal church." And I turned, I got the phone. You know, didn't have no cell phones. I one of them old big phones, weighed about 8 pounds. And I said, "He said it's a Pentecostal church." She said, "What kind of Pentecostal church?" Now I'm thinking, you mean there's more than one? There's other people like this out there? And I said, "What kind of Pentecostal church, sir, is it?" He said, "Well, it's a Pentecostal. I don't know. It's just a Pentecostal." Here's what my mother said to me. My mother knew more than I thought she did. She said, "Is it oneness or Trinity?" And that meant nothing to me. Nothing. I knew there was a river called the Trinity River. Outside of that, I'm out. And so I turned to this back to the phone, and I said, "Is it oneness or Trinity?" Not even knowing what I'm asking the man. And he said, "Oh my," he said, "this is a oneness church." I turned to my mother and I said, "He said it's a oneness church." She said, "Hang the phone up." I said, "Hang the phone." She said, "Hang the phone up." And I told him, I said, "Well, I have to go. Thank you." And I hung up. I said, "Why am I doing that?" She said, "You can't go back there no more." "Well, I'm grown and married." I said, "What do you mean I can't go back there no more?" She said, "Because it's a oneness church." I said, "What's wrong with that? What is that?" She said, "They believe different than we do." I said, "Mama, I don't believe nothing." She said, "Those oneness people are not right." She said, "There's something wrong with them." And she said, "You can't go there." I said, "Mama, let me see if I got this right. I drink, I smoke, I do other things. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of. And you're okay with that. I'm going to this church now where something happened to me last night that I cannot explain. And now I'm ready to quit smoking, quit drinking, turn away from all of that, and pursue this thing that happened to me last night. And you want me to not go back there no more. You like me better the other way?" "Well, I'm not saying that, but you just can't go back. You can't go back there." "Well, we baptized her. And I can tell you, when I baptized her, when he did, I didn't baptize. When we baptized that woman, you talk about somebody getting the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to talk freely about the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to apologize for who or what I am. And I'm not going to try to salt and pepper this and spice it up and say the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Ghost. And my mama got it. And man, when she got it, I mean, she got it. And it changed her life. She became a witness. She knew, my goodness gracious, she knew more about that oneness thing that she was so afraid of than anybody you'd ever seen in your life. Don't come to her with anything else. She knew better. Now, to see all of that was a beautiful thing. And in just a few short months, I had already begun planning, I'm going to be a preacher. That's all there is to it. I am going to be a preacher. I don't know what they do, but I'm going to be one. And I remember I'd take a trip because we was in the trucking business, and I'd go with, I was still doing that kind of stuff. I'd go off somewhere, and I was going to go to church. I didn't take vacations from God. I wasn't looking for a day off from God. I don't understand that. And so when I went out on the road, I'd get in the Yellow Pages, look up churches. We don't do that stuff no more either. Now we Google it. Siri,
find a Pentecostal church. That's Siri, I'm going to tell you, man, she's religious too. And I'd go to, and I always looked at the, under the same category because they had them categorized. And I'd stop in a strange town and I'd just go to that church and I'd come walking in there like I owned the place. And you know, I'd walk in them strange churches, never been there before in my life, and I would look at them and it never ceased to amaze me. It's like I was at home. I didn't even know these people. I didn't know anything about this place, but I was at home. There was something there I felt. We were on the same page. We were together. We had something in common. And I could feel the same thing there that I felt at that other place. And it's like we weren't wanting to argue about anything. We wanted to be together. We wanted to sing together. We wanted to pray together. We wanted to worship together. We wanted to feel the presence of God together. We didn't have no axe to grind. I like that feeling. I like that. It talks about the brethren dwelling in unity. And you can dwell with brethren you didn't even know. And you'd be there 5 minutes and you've made friends. Let's go back to Cuba. Years later, I look at these. I still go and look at pictures of Cuba. And I think, how can this be the same place? Because something happened. Cuba lost something. What happened in Detroit? Detroit lost something. What has happened in so many places like that, that used to be thriving, beautiful places, that they lost something? Let's take it a step further. How many churches used to be thriving, living, breathing churches? That you could drive 1,000 miles. You could go across the sea to China and couldn't even speak the same language. But the moment you walked in the room, you knew you were at home. And now today, you have to look through the windows to be sure. Because it's not the same anymore. And everybody's got an axe to grind. And you wonder, what happened to us? Where did we go wrong? Let me tell you something about Apostolic Faith Church. And I don't care if this is recorded or not. I don't care who hears it. What are they going to do to me? I'm 70 years old. I don't care. I'm mad at everybody. Someday, some of you young men and you young women, you'll look back and you'll say, God, thank you for giving me a pastor that kept the wagon on the road. Thank you for a pastor's wife that would follow him to hell with a pistol, a water pistol, because they believed in what they were doing. I understand that things change. And we've all changed to some degree. But some things are unchangeable. Do you know that God actually doesn't change? What God liked 50 years ago, it's amazing. He still likes it tonight. And yet we think that we can come in and change the whole program and change up all the rules and change up everything. And God will be okay with that because we wanted to do it. I get so tired of these senseless arguments about why are we doing that. How long is long? How short is short? How bushy is bushy? You know, we used to, when I first came to God, all the men looked the same. I don't mean, you know, in their physical, handsome or not handsome, because a lot of them were ugly. I wasn't one of them. But we didn't argue over people's hair. We didn't have no arguments over that. And when you would go in there and see ladies, the ladies, they all pretty much looked alike. That it seemed like there was a set that everybody was comfortable with. And it was just a way of life. See, it is a way of life. And I look now to where everybody wants to argue about something. Well, where'd you get that? And who are you to say that? You know, you put your pants on just like I do, one leg at a time. I told y'all one time what I'd like to do. I'd like to stand me up, a pair of my pants down there and jump up off that high balcony up there and jump into both legs at the same time and say, get a hold of that, cowboy. Are our desires to be different and to be like the rest of the world, are they so great that we're willing to sacrifice a heritage that was purchased by the blood, sweat, and tears of great men of God who heard from the Holy Ghost, who fasted and prayed till their tummies hurt to try and set something up for us? Isn't it amazing that when we received it all those years ago, Brother Schumacher, it was the best thing since sliced bread. Man, I came to God. I'd never had anything to drink, or I never took anything that made me feel like that. And to see all the miracles and the things that God was doing in my life and the healings. And I look back now, people say, well, you know, you don't have to do it. It's not necessary. Quit telling me what's not necessary. Why is it such a drag nowadays to simply want to do what you did in the beginning? What brought you there in the first place? What saved you out of a life of sin? What raised up into your children? What saved your mother and your father? Why is there something about that that is such a drag? That's not a drag to me. God's still the same. Yet, I'm in a world that says I need to change as they change. I disagree. We're not exactly like everybody was 50, 60 years ago. But I'm pretty much the same. I've been combing my hair same way now for 48 years. Same way. My son says Dad could walk backward in a hurricane. Hair wouldn't get out of place. Now, I just got a haircut, so it's real short right now. Real short. In fact, I should have been alarmed when that woman that cut it jumped off a pony with a tomahawk in her hand. I should have known I was at the wrong place. She cut hair and kept cutting and cutting, and I thought, man, I just wanted a little trim up here. This woman's getting excited. I'm getting afraid now. I've been wearing my hair like this the same way. And, you know, sometimes people say, why don't you change your hairstyle? Why? My head's used to this. Why do I need to change my looks? Let me ask you something. After you pass 40, 45, and you've been married 15, 20, 25, 30 years, really most of you guys, and I'm talking about most of you because I'm looking at you, ain't nobody looking at you. Why do I want to try to look young? There's nothing wrong with getting old. If you consider the alternative, and everybody gets old, what's wrong with that? I'd rather get old and be happy than to try to break my back looking young and die miserable. So I look at the church today, and there's so much dissension all over the country. And people are saying, well, should you do this, should you do that, and I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do that, and I'm tired of these standards, and I'm tired of this. What is there to be tired of? Amen. We're just doing what we've been doing. We're just not changing anything. What is wrong with that? Why do you want to find fault with that? And I'm not saying you. I'm talking about anybody. Why do we want to find fault with that? Is it so important to have my way that I would take a chance on bypassing the will of God and wind up in a place that I can't get out of? Am I prepared to sacrifice the heritage that I've attempted to pass on to my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren just to have my own way? We have somehow forgotten that man's life upon the planet is 70 years and by reason of strength, maybe 80. That's not very long compared to eternity. And you know what we're working for? We're working for eternity. Yeah, but you know, I want to have it my way while I'm here. Well, if you have it your way while you're here, you may not be part of that over there. So really, we're working for a prize. Now, how do we fix something like that? How can America, we can't fix America. You can forget that. America's done. Put a fork in her, she's done. We're not going back. I'm serious now when I say that. We're done. You listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. We're done. America is done. Politically, she has sunk to her lowest ebb. And it doesn't look good in the future. But for us, that the political structure should not change us. We're the same. We still have a duty. We still have a plan. Our leader is still riding the same horse. And he's the most powerful thing on the planet. There's none like him in all the earth. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What we've got actually works. You ladies that try your best to look like decent, God-fearing, God-loving ladies, I say God bless you. God bless you and strengthen you. You men that are doing everything you can to be a godly man, to be the head of your home, and to be an example for your children. May the Holy Ghost rest upon you, and may God give you great strength, and may you become more than a conqueror. While so many people are trying to prove their point, somebody's going to die and go to hell. While we're arguing over where to build the fence. Why do we want to be like everybody else? Look at the trouble everybody else has. I brought up that baptismal thing that's going all over the internet. Some of you have probably seen it on Facebook. This big church having baptismal services. They got a stage and they got thousands of people there watching. And these guys walk up and stand in this pond or this baptistry that they've got set up there. And the preacher comes out, he's got his head shaved and wearing a muscle shirt. I put a muscle shirt on one time, didn't help me. And this preacher, he gets a running start and he hits this guy in the head and knocks him down into the baptistry and then jumps on him, man, I mean like a fight. And has got him by the hand, ears or something. He's just dousing him in and out of the water. Then he picks him up. Guy jumps up, starts waving his arms and talking about how great it was. The next one comes out there, and he's standing there, and he kind of gets down, sits down in a sitting position, and here comes this bald guy in the muscle shirt, comes running out there and clotheslines that guy, just clotheslines him like that and knocks him. I mean, his feet go up in the air. He falls down under that water, and then he jumps on him, starts shaking him and dipping. Looks like an old mad woman on a washboard. And then the third guy, he's standing there waiting to get baptized. And here comes Batman out of the wings over here. And he looks like Superfly Snuka when he flies through the air and hits that guy head on. Drops him into the water and he's on top of him. His body is on top of him. He's got him under. And everybody's shouting and jumping up and down. And that was circulating on Facebook. And I got like Popeye. Popeye said, I stood all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And I started writing to the people that posted it. And I said, that's not a baptistry at all. In fact, you're desecrating the blood of Jesus Christ with such a thing as that. Can I tell you that God doesn't need a circus? Can I tell you that God doesn't need any kind of a gig or an act? God doesn't need any performers. You know what God needs? He don't need nothing. But he loves men that will yield themselves to him. I'd rather have a preacher that'll take me in his arms and hold me like a baby and lower me into the water, into the lovely name of Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost come upon me. I'd rather have that than I had to have a theatrical stunt. What we have is precious. What we have right here tonight is precious. Anthony, you can't get this just anywhere. It's not for sale. You have to earn this. You think we're begging you to come? No, we are begging you to get to know God, but we're not begging you to come and get the pearl of great price. You got to want that. And you can't get it unless you want it. And when you want it, you'll get it. But until you want it, you won't get it. And whatever you're getting, you ain't really got nothing. Amen. Boy, that was a long sentence, wasn't it? I want this thing to flourish again. I want it to flourish. I'm excited about doing this. I've got a minister's conference coming up, and I'm going to teach about these things. Why are we trying to fix something that ain't broke? Why are we trying to change something that's unchangeable? It worked so good 48 years ago. Why would I want to fix that? I have to say this, and I may have already said it before here, but being so new, I did not know what to do. I didn't understand things. I mean, I was learning, and this was brand new to me. I mean, I came from one spectrum all the way to the other end of it to another, and my wife fought me every inch of the way. Whew. Boy, that woman had a mean side to her. I didn't know she had that when we married. She was also so meek and so kind. And my God, boy, I rose up a polar bear with a broke tooth. I mean, she got mean. And she told me, she said, I'm not going with you to that church. Told her the same thing I told my mother. I said, you know, I lied. I stole. I did all kinds of things. I wasn't faithful to you. You were good with that. I'm in something now that's changing all of that, and you want me to go back to the old guy. I just don't believe that stuff they're doing. It's not right. She was a devout Catholic. So I went to the pastor. It's the only thing I knew to do. I told him, I said, man, I got a lot of trouble at home. My wife's fighting me. I mean, it's bad. She threatens me with divorce all the time and threatens to take the children. I said, I don't know what to do. You know, at other times I might could have handled it differently, but I don't know what to do right now. The right way. I want to do it the right way. Now, I know this is unorthodox, and I don't want you to come to him and say, no, that's what you need to do. Don't do that, please. I don't recommend it. But I told him, I said, what do I do? He said, you go home, tell your wife that you're going to start going to church with her every Sunday morning. I said, at the Catholic church? Yeah, my voice got high. It got high back then, too. I said, at the Catholic church? He said, yep. He said, but it's got to be an arrangement. You tell her you're going to go with her every Sunday morning. If she'll come with you every Sunday night. Thank God for Sunday night services. I'd have had a little trouble making that arrangement today, wouldn't I? Woo! Boy, I took a jab there. And so I went home and I sat down and I said, listen, I want to tell you what I want to do. I said, I'll go to church with you every Sunday morning. She said, you will? Because she'd been trying to get me to go to church for 10 years. I said, I'll go every Sunday morning. I'm going to go to Mass. Oh, that was hard. And she said, okay, and what's the catch? I said, you got to go with me every Sunday night. She said, it's a deal. She figures she's going to win me over. After a year, I was beginning to think she had won me over. Man, me and the old priest were standing out every Sunday morning. He's having a smoke, and we'd stand out there in front of the church talking, got to be buddies. I've been going there a year now. They think I'm one of them. But every Sunday night, my wife was right there in that church. One year, we were having a Sunday night service, and she'd always do the same thing. She'd get up. Just as the altar service was about to take place, she'd get up, get her rosary beads and whatever else she needed, and she'd get the kids, and they'd go out, and she'd go stand in the nursery till it was over. And so she did that night. I watched her, same old thing. You know, I'd seen it happen so many times. Now it's a year now. And she got up, and we always sat in the same place, you know. She got up, and she started out. And when she got over here, she's supposed to make a left. And she got out, and she made a right. And then she stopped right there and just bowed her head. And I was watching her. I was on the platform and I was watching her. And I thought, man, what is she doing? And then I saw the pastor's wife. Thank God for pastor's wives, real pastor's wives. I saw her immediately leave her seat and headed right toward my wife and walked right up to her and didn't say nothing in the world to her. Just walked up to her and wrapped her arms around her. And when she wrapped her arms around her, my wife began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Can I tell you, we baptized her that night. She was speaking in tongues. When we took her home, she was speaking in tongues. When I got up the next morning, she was still laying in the bed speaking in tongues. For over 8 hours, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do I improve that? It worked back then. That first year, my wife was a very beautiful woman. And she was petite. And man, it was, mini skirts were pretty new then. And boy, she had some. I mean, mini skirts. Whew. Them things, this didn't take much material to make them things, I'm going to tell you. And she wore them to church. And one day the pastor come to me and he said, "Brother Mike, we got to do something about your wife." I said, "What? What's she doing?" He said, "About them mini skirts." He said, "Looks like they're getting shorter." And had about 200 people in the church. And I said, "What do I do?" He said, "Well, I think I've got it figured out." I said, "What?" He said, "The ladies all got together because everybody sewed. Now it's a curse if you teach your children how to sew." What happened to that? Back then, all the young women learned how to sew. We say it's a curse now. Back then, we said it was a blessing. Teaching your son to have a trade back then was a blessing. Now we say it's a curse. Everybody needs to go to college, get a degree, and become a lawyer, a doctor, or a techie. And now we live in a country where everything that we get, somebody else makes for us. Have you noticed that? They make our food. They make our cars. They make everything. Everything's an import. And you know what we do? We export. Do you know what the biggest export in the United States is? What we're famous for? Number one export in the United States. Pornography. Number one. And so all them ladies brought a whole box full of skirts. I mean, every color, every kind of skirt, a whole box, brand new, that had been made. Gave them to my wife. She was so touched by it. Thank y'all so much. She went home. And she got all those skirts out and cut every one of them off. Turned them into mini skirts and come walking into church in that. He said, "What happened?" I said, "She circumvented. That's all I can tell you. She fixed them all back, made them mini skirts. She thought it was okay." But that night after that incident that took place at the altar, she threw all those mini, nobody told her, she threw all those mini skirts away. She went and bought material over at one of the Hancock Fabrics or somewhere. And man, she was making dresses right and left. She didn't stop with dresses. She started making shirts. She could make anything. Nobody had to tell her to do that. How do I improve on a situation like that? What was wrong with that? We went to camp meetings, old open air camp meetings, had a big campground and people stayed out in tents. Mosquitoes were terrible. Lufkin, Texas. I think that's where hell's going to be. 105 degrees and 150 degrees humidity. Oh, and you got 4,000 people underneath that old tabernacle. Let me tell you, it's hot. And we'd get up there to those places, and in the evening time, just before all the services get started and after the services, you'd see women everywhere out there. They'd have fires going and they'd be shelling peas and they'd be making blankets and they'd be making quilts and there'd be men around there that were building stuff and we were enjoying the blessings of God. Now we go to camp meetings, it's in a hotel. All over the country, we moved them to hotels. Went from 5 days and five nights. Now we're 2 days and two nights or 3 days and three nights. And everybody's in a hotel. You take your children out to eat and tell them we're having a campground. I went to the one in San Antonio 1 year. Went one time. That was enough for me. I said, "I wonder what they'd do if I walked inside that big old Sheraton hotel, fancy place, marble and all that. Wonder what they'd do if I went over and built me a campfire right in the middle of the floor and put on a pot of beans to cook out there in an open fire." Well, it's a camp meeting, isn't it? Amen. We've lost something somewhere along the way. We've lost something. We think it's more, we're more sophisticated if we look like everybody else and if we act like everybody else. I don't want to look like everybody else. I don't want to act like everybody else. I want to be different. Why? Because the Bible said, "Come ye from among them and be ye separate." We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to act like everybody else. We're supposed to be different. And you should be proud of who you are and what you are. Don't you think it's a tragedy when you ask your kids questions that, and you may not have much of that problem here, but I brought some with me tonight. I brought some questions with me tonight. Give me about 5 minutes. You can take your children and you can say, just get a kid in fifth, sixth grade, and seventh grade, whatever, and just tell them, say, you know, I need you to figure out 12x plus 20 parenthesis equals parenthesis 8x minus 40. What's the answer? Well, I have no idea. I don't even know what you just said. But they can figure it out in just a moment. Ask your kids who, what's Call of Duty? What's Far Cry 2 in NBA 2016? New Super Brothers Mario. What's Plants vs. Zombies? They know. What's up with this zombie thing? Why in the name of God are God's people watching zombie shows? Why are we messing with the dead? Why are we doing that? I'm not trying to start an insurrection here, but I'm asking an honest question. Why are we messing with zombies? Ask them what World of Warcraft is, or Cataclysm. Ask them about all of the major sports games. The zombie series stars. Ask them who won The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Who was number one on America's Got Talent or American Idol? Who was the leading person on The Survivor? You know, I went into some people's homes. These were church people. I went into their home just some time back, and some of them were talking. There were other people there, and someone was talking about, what did you think of Mark? And, oh, it was sad. I felt so bad for him, so sorry. It was just so touching. And I overheard part of it. I just leaned over. I said, who's Mark? I thought maybe, you know, I could do something. I had my oil with me. And they said, oh, you wouldn't know him. I said, well, who is he? Maybe I do. They said, well, he's on The Bachelor. And I said, you know him? You talk like you know him. They talk about these people like they know them, like they're friends. And the same way on that American Idol. Did you hear what Justin did the other night? Oh, he was beautiful, wasn't he? First of all, Justin can't be beautiful. They talk about them people like they know them. These sports stars in the NFL, the NBA. Did you see how many points John scored the other night? Like, you don't know this guy. Why are y'all in this personal relationship? Where'd you get that? You don't know these people. But we're so into what they're doing, and we become so much a part of what they are, that we now want to be part of that. And that becomes a focal point for us during the week in our lives. How about The Biggest Loser? Boy, now that by title ought to be disqualified. Do you really think that God wants you to spend an hour every week watching a bunch of fat people weigh? I'm going to let that soak in a minute because it's starting to get a little action. Really, if you look at it from God's perspective, we're crazy. In America, we are crazy. I expect that from them. I do not expect it from the people of God. I don't want to do anything that's going to make you angry, and I pray to God that I won't. If I say something that offends you, please don't get offended. Just remember, I'm old. I started to tell you, go see your pastor, but he's old too. If you've got time to watch the Packers for 2 hours on Sunday, you got time to come to a prayer meeting. If you got time to watch the Packers, you got time to pray at home. You've got time to read your Bible. And in fact, you shouldn't even do any of that other stuff until you have fulfilled your obligation to God as far as prayer and studying of the Word of God. You can fix any damage I do after I'm gone. I made this commitment a long time ago. I like to read. I can sit down, you can give me a book, and I can sit down and read it in a few hours. And I made a commitment a long time ago. God, I will never pick up a book at night to read and enjoy, whatever it may be, a novel or a documentary. I will never do it, God, if I have not first read the Word of God that day. I will not do it. And so I've had occasion to where the day would grind on me, and you know, you get caught up, and I didn't have time to stop and read several chapters or verses of Scripture. And I'm finding myself ready to go to bed because I'm so tired. And I thought it would be good just to get a book and lay there in the bed. I ain't doing it. I ain't going to break that cycle. Why? Our first obligation is to God. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that's healed my family. He's the one that set my feet up on the solid rock. I'm not going to shortchange him or put him in a place where he doesn't need to be. Dr. Phil. Oh. The Ellen Show. We're honoring people that know nothing about God and are doing nothing to perpetuate the kingdom of God. Ask yourself this question, why would you want to be part of that? What does it edify? Say edify. The word edify appears in Scripture. In fact, the Bible says, let everything be done unto edification. So ask yourself the question about the things you do. Is this going to edify? Is this going to edify God and the church? Because if it's not going to edify the church or God's people or somebody that you can help, maybe we ought not be doing it. So these are some of the questions that have been asked. Number one, who won the Civil War? These were asked college students, intelligent young men and women at universities, our next generation, millennials, if you please. Who won the Civil War? Number one answer, Russia. Why do we celebrate Memorial Day? Number one answer, it's a holiday. Who was the first president? Most popular answer. Who was the first president? Who? George Washington. Good answer. Number one answer on this survey. Abraham Lincoln. He was number 16, just so you know. Who did the United States fight in World War II? Well, there was a conglomerate, but for the most part, it was Germany and Japan. And there were other countries too, but they were the primary. Number one answer, Vietnam. What are the three branches of government? Legislative, judicial, and executive branch. Those are the three branches of government. Number one answer, IDK, because we don't spell out words anymore. IDK was the number one answer, I don't know. Can you name the senator or congressman where you live? Number one answer, no. Who was Paul Revere? Paul Revere? Remember? The British are coming. Number one answer. The lead singer in the group, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Who were the apostles? The 12 apostles. Answer. This is funny. Here's the answer. L-O-L and R-O-F-L. That's laughing out loud and rolling on the floor laughing.
And you got a little chubby emoticon up there that's rolling on the floor. Because they don't know. Now, how can we expect something good to come from that? How can we expect something good to come from that? Should we be able to ask those questions here and get the correct answers? Should we not be able to ask who the 12 apostles are and somebody at least name some of them? Shouldn't we? Of course we should. And if we can do all of this other stuff that I just got through talking about, why could we not know some of that stuff? Because we're not studying to show ourselves approved workmen unto God. If you think those little bread charts are a waste of time, you're sadly mistaken. Those little bread charts might save your life. I thank God for all those trophies up yonder that you've got. For kids that are quizzers that understand what the Bible's all about. They're studying the Word of God. They are studying at a young age to show themselves approved workmen unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what happens when you study that stuff. Why are we trying to do away with the very things that made us what we are? Why? And then you get guys like me and guys like him that we're thinking, we don't have nothing else. Where can we go, brother Schumacher? Where can we go? You take this from us, you may as well shoot us. We don't have anything. I don't have an alternative plan. There is no plan B here. And if there's a plan B in your life, then your life is not in order. This is it. There isn't anything else. This is the best thing that you will ever be exposed to, right here. Come in here on a Sunday night. Come in here on a Sunday morning. Come in here on a Wednesday till it's ingrained in you, till it becomes a way of life. Showing up on Saturday morning for a prayer meeting. Going and getting prayer when you're sick and you need a touch of God. That's what this is about. Let the world change. God never changes. God never is going to change. You can't change him, and nor can I. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can change you. You can change you. You can make you different. I want to encourage you tonight. I'll tell you, I don't like being sick. I don't like it at all. I don't like the way it makes me feel. But I'd rather be sick the rest of my life and know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings than to be whole and have nothing to look forward to in the future. There is nothing better than this. Nothing. Even when you're sick, there's nothing better than this. Thank you, brother, for praying for me. Thank you for anointing me. Thank you for all of you that prayed for me here tonight. Thank my friend Ernie Maroc back there who came tonight. I didn't even know he was coming, brought his lovely daughter. And first thing he did was caught a hold of me out there in the parking lot and started praying that God would heal me. That's God's people. That's what I like. That's what I like. Yes, God heard every one of you. Yes, God will touch me. I will recover. I will get well because I believe in your prayers and I believe in God's word. Would you stand with me? A little different tonight. Brother, I used to hear a lot of, remember when they used to charge men? They'd do a charge. Ministers used to do that. They'd charge you, say, I charge you. And I tell you, it would pay to listen. They were charged. That meant that they were being told. They were being instructed. They were being commanded to do something. And it was serious. You're my friend. We're in this together. I charge you. Hold the row. Hold the row.
Don't let them talk you out of nothing. If you look out there and there ain't a single soul left in the congregation, hold the row. That won't happen. You that are here tonight, brother, how long ago did you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? 55 years. It worked pretty good back then, didn't it? Still works tonight. 55 years later, still works tonight. God's still the same tonight as he was the first night you ever met him. He wasn't broke then. It's funny, all that stuff was good back then. It was good enough to save you. It was good enough that God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you are in here like that? You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was good enough then. Why are we trying to improve upon something? Why are we trying? How do we make it better? We can't. So if it was right then, doesn't it stand to reason it's right now? Well, I just want to be able to do things my way. Why? Your ways don't lead to nothing but failure. Just like mine. I'm God's biggest problem. When I use my own way and my own methods and my own means, it always works out badly. But when I allow God to handle it, it always works out right. Isn't he amazing? How long have you known him? How long have you known God? 10 years. Has it been a good 10 years? You want to try to improve up on it tonight? You can't. But you know what you can do? You can say, God, could I have a little taste of what happened 10 years ago? Could I re-experience that? Could you do it again? I'd like to do that again. I'd like to feel that again because it changed my life all those years ago. I'd like to feel that again. How long, brother? 45 years. That's not bad at all. That's 1971. 1971, it felt pretty good, didn't it, back then? Worked pretty good back then, didn't it? You weren't arguing about all this stuff. You didn't care. You knew something had happened to you, didn't you? Well, it still works tonight. Same principle. Nothing's wrong with it. God don't need to be repaired. He's not mad. He's not disgruntled. He's not laying down the blanket. Still works, doesn't it? Yeah, I feel like crying with you, brother, because we've lost something along the way. I'd kind of like to get some of it back tonight. I'd like to reclaim. Devil didn't steal nothing from us. We gave it away. You know why he's crying? Same reason I am. We're not young anymore. And we're seeing something happen that scares us. We don't want to lose it, do we? How long? 20 years, 2 decades. Still the same tonight as he was then. It was good back then, wasn't it? Just happy, weren't you? You thought you'd won the lottery. Now we find ourselves trying to improve upon it. Your wife? Looks like you're about to have an addition to the family. That or you need to stop feeding her whatever she's eating. How about you? How long have you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost? About a year? Was it good when you got it? How about you? 12 years, was it good? Do you already know what that is? What is it? Little boy, you already got a name? What is it? Who? What are you, a Spider-Man fan? See, he's thinking the old dude won't pick up on that. Son, I'm Slicker and Grease BBs. You remember that. Well, Peter Parker doesn't have a chance in this world unless you pass on to him what God gave you 12 years ago. You going to do that? Reach over and put your arm around that girl and pray for her. That you and her will stick together and that the main focus of your lives will be to teach that baby about the power, the love, and the blood of Jesus Christ. First and foremost. How long, Ernie? 15 years. 13? Matt, good to see you. Appreciate y'all driving out here. It was good back then, wasn't it? Has he changed? We've tried to improve up on something that doesn't need to be improved on. I think tonight would be a good night for you and Tiffany. Matt, just to say, God, how long has it been, Matt, for you? 22 years, just to say, God, I've taken that for granted. Take me back, God, all those years. Let me feel what I felt back then. Lord, let that thing get revived in me. I don't want to change, God. I don't want to change. I just want to get greater and grow bigger into this. I want to love you with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. I don't want to be part of a political machine that's not worth anything at all. And the list goes on. How long? 32 years. It's as good tonight as it was then. We've just kind of gotten lax. How about you? 5 years. Would you trade this for anything? Glad you're here. There's none like him in all the earth. Is this yours over here? Right there? What's her name? Rachel Madison. That's a beautiful name. Do you know that her only hope is this right here? You take this away from her, you'd be better off if you prayed and asked Jesus to take her from you. You'd be better off. Make sure that this is what she's part of. In everything, from right now on, God, I want her to be part of this because she has no future without you. How long? 11 years. How about you? 26 years. Is that your son? How about you? 8 years. It don't change. Why would you want anything else? 39 years. Folks, do you understand what we're doing here tonight? I'm trying to provoke you to thought. You can't replace this. How long, Sylvester? 11 years. Good years. How about you? Why are you crying? Yes, he is. Look at what he gave you. Hi, darling. How long? 27 years. 28. How about you? Not even a year. Oh, you're a baby. Ah, it's fresh with you. You still waiting? 2007. That's 9 years. I can do math. 9 years. Son, there's a lot of stuff out there pulling on you. Let it pull. You pull harder because this is where it's at. This is where it's at. How long? 34? 34 years. 16. 35 years. Did you win him? How long? 27 years. 26. 10, 12 years. Do you guys understand that you have found the pearl of great price? There is nothing like this in all the world. That our future depends on what you're going to do. Don't be like some of these other guys and go crazy. Keep doing what always worked. Don't try to fix something that's not broke. How long? 26 years. 22. 26. Would you trade it? I've got some money. Can I buy it? How long? 20 years. Look at all these people, all these years. And he's still the same. If you're in this building tonight and you have ever one time been healed, would you just raise your hand for one moment? Look at the hands. What's wrong with us? Why would we not? Why would we want to get rid of this? How long, Mike? 20 years. He's the best friend you've ever had, isn't he? How about you? Six? You ever had anything any better than this? I watched you tonight. I was watching you. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much God loves you? You don't. I don't have no idea either how much he loves me. I only know that he does. And that I really need you to be on your best game. Because my future's in your hands. I'm glad to see those tears because that lets God know how much you love him. Oh, we need some precious young people that'll say, don't worry, Mom. Don't worry, Dad. This torch ain't never going out. This torch ain't never going out. And not only will I keep it burning, if I have children, I'll make sure that they keep it burning as well. We just keep passing it on down. How long? 25 years. 35? 30. How many? 30 years. Look at us. We're treasure hunters. We're blessed above measure. I'm not going to let nobody talk me out of this. God, look at these people. All these people, God, I could walk through the rest. I could spend another hour talking to people, Lord, but I think the point's well made. We're blessed. We have found the pearl of great price. It's a wonderful church. It's a wonderful pastor. There's some great men of God in this church, and here's one of them right here. Brother, hold the row. Hold the row.